Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to the next podcast about E3 conferences. This one is the Bethesda one, and as I'm not afraid to say, I fucking hate Bethesda, so I'm going to have to throw to Brooker a lot on this one. So joining me is Andrew Brooker. Brooks, how are we?
I am tired, mate.
Yeah.
As we speak, it's 5:45 in the morning. Bethesda have thankfully done the shortest ever E3 press conference, because they've just done the latest ever E3 press conference. I think this is the first time an E3 press conference has kicked off at 5:00 in the morning our time.
Yeah.
But I had 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
After pushing the last episode up, so yeah. I am fucking tired.
Why do we do this to ourselves?
I thought it would be a good idea. On paper it is.
It's a great idea, but
I'm not doing this next year.
Fucking hell. Just waking up at 4 in the morning just to watch something I'm not interested in.
Waking up at 4 in the morning is worse than staying up all night to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I just about had time to get comfortable in my bed. And then I had to get up again.
Yeah.
Ugh. So, coffee. There's enough coffee in the world for this bullshit.
Let's crack on. It should be quick because most of my notes mention just the name of the game and then nothing else, because I didn't bother making decent notes.
Well, yeah, like I said, they've done the shortest press conference in history. It lasted 45 minutes. So if we spend 30 minutes talking about a 45-minute press conference, there's something very wrong, because we just want to hit the bullet points. So, yeah, this will probably be our shortest podcast ever as well.
So let's start with the way that they started in exploiting the children of the developers.
That's awesome. Bring your kid to work day.
It was either that, or they were holding them hostage so that the parents would actually say that what a great company Bethesda is.
Yeah.
And how much they enjoy their jobs. Because nobody's that happy at work.
Well, no. No, I doubt they are. But you never know. You get to make games where you blow people's faces up for fun.
Yeah, there's only so many times that I'm assuming that that's fun. It's like working in a chocolate factory.
Yeah, I suppose.
Like, you can eat as much chocolate as you want right up until the point when you see chocolate and you just instantly want to burn people's faces off.
Funny story, I used to work in a chocolate factory. And it's exactly like that as well. They say to you, just eat whatever you want. Because they know after 2 fucking days of you eating whatever you want, you're never going to eat another chocolate thing ever again in your life.
Yep. So, then they gave us a lovely little sizzle reel, where I don't actually know any of what was going on in the sizzle reel, so
it was basically a shitload of stuff that they've just released. So we had Doom, Dishonored 2, Prey, Elder Scrolls Online, I'm guessing, Fallout 4, all stuff that they've released in the last couple of years. But what was really cool is you get, I sat watching it going, why does anybody hate this company? Why does John hate this company? They release so much awesome shit. But yeah, it was just a sizzle reel of all the awesome shit they've released over the last, 18 months?
Yeah, okay. So, after that, we got the first VR mention of the weekend.
Oh.
So, Doom, a game which is notorious for giving people motion sickness, now has a VR mode.
Damn straight. Doom VFR, virtual fucking reality.
Yep.
And it's going to be playable at E3, so I'm looking forward to a lot of people getting sick and then reporting about it on YouTube.
Yep. but I imagine it'll be just the PC VR stuff, so your Oculus, your Vive, maybe not PSVR.
No, probably not PSVR. So it's just another tick box, or maybe just another nail in the coffin for my PlayStation VR. But yeah, between that and Fallout, if you're into VR and you've got the equipment, I see no reason not to invest. I mean, I'm not a Fallout fan, but it looked all right, but Doom looks awesome.
Maybe that's where I'm actually going wrong in life. Maybe I should be playing Fallout and Skyrim and be a massive Bethesda fan, because then I'd be rich enough to afford a stupidly high-end PC and be able to get good VR. Because I wouldn't be playing any other games, because I'd be too busy playing Fallout.
Exactly. See, you're going about life all wrong, mate.
Yep. Then from Doom and Fallout VR, they moved on to something to do with Morrowind on ESO.
Yeah, so I don't know enough about the Elder Scrolls and the Elder Scrolls Online. I know that we've had the Elder Scrolls Online Skyrim for a little while, and this is a big old expansion based in the Morrowind universe.
I don't know. The Elder Scrolls stuff are based in regions. I'm sad that I know this, but I've seen a map before.
Okay.
And Elder Scrolls Online is actually based in a region called Tamriel, I believe.
Yep.
And
sounds familiar.
Then Morrowind is basically, they just opened up one of the other regions and said, here you go. Your expansion is you get to go to the Morrowind region.
Okay. And the advert went available now. I think we said this on our preview show, and I was like, I know it's coming, I'm not sure if it's out now or out soon, but apparently it is out now.
Yeah.
The problem is, because I don't pay attention to when these games are coming out, I don't know if that was a surprise announcement or what, or maybe it just came out today.
Maybe right during that, people were just like playing it instead of watching the conference, and then suddenly it just came up saying, now downloading Morrowind.
But yeah, I mean, if you're into that kind of thing, TSO seems to be doing, or Tesso, if you want to call it that, seems to be doing all right. So, why not?
But there was a bear.
There was a big bear.
There was a bear.
That bear was fucking shit up as well.
Yes, it was.
I want a bear that fucks shit up.
You've already got a dog.
Yeah, but all she does is lick her anus while I'm trying to do podcasts and makes noise. That's not fucking shit up, that's chewing butthole.
Yeah.
It's less interesting when it's your own butthole as well.
I suppose.
I know, I've tried.
Then they mentioned something else that supports mods, but I don't think I actually typed the game down. Just say what it was.
What do they call it? The Creator Club or something?
Yeah.
Which looks like, or Creation Club, sorry.
Yeah.
Which looks like a paid modding community.
It looks like it's microtransactions for official mods.
Yeah.
And by official mods, what I mean is that mods that they've said are okay to put into their games without breaking them entirely.
Yeah. So, I mean, this does fall into the same category as the Elder Scrolls Online. It's not a community I follow. It's not a community I'm a part of. So, I don't know if it's a big deal or not. I do, you know, obviously I know that Bethesda and Skyrim, especially with the Ultimate Edition of Skyrim that came out on the newer consoles, it was a big deal that they supported mods, and Fallout, it's a big deal that Fallout supports mods. So I guess it's just an expansion on that. I don't know.
but the fact that they've now realised that mods are such a big part of their thing, that they've now gone, you know what, we're going to charge people for mods, and we're going to have official mods, and we're going to have people make mods for us to sell to people.
I mean, I do very much wonder, you know, official mod is basically what you would call DLC.
Yeah.
But, again, because I'm not part of this community, I don't know, would the community be happy with that? I listen to several podcasts where I'm sure I will get to hear about it in the next couple of days, but I honestly can't tell if it's a good thing or a bad one.
I think it's a bad thing, because getting the community to make your game for you, essentially.
Yeah.
And then charging the community to then play the game that they've made for you.
Yeah.
So why not just make the game right in the first place?
Yeah, fair enough.
And then we moved on to Elder Scrolls Legends, which is apparently some kind of card game.
Collected card game thing. I don't know. There's this whole section of this thing, and I know it was only 45 minutes long, but there's a whole section of this entire presentation where I just went, duh. Because pretty much anything that says the Elder Scrolls on it, or Fallout for that matter, kind of makes me glaze over. Because
yeah.
I don't play them, so I do know several people that play like competitive card games, collectible card games.
Yeah.
CCGs. They would almost certainly be interested in what we watched, but sadly, me, not so much.
Yeah, I've no idea about what went on.
And I don't know if a Elder Scrolls card game actually has a chance to exist anymore with Hearthstone being as big as it is and Gwent on the way, because I know Gwent's got a massive following behind it because, you know, The Witcher.
Yeah.
But that's about as far as my knowledge on competitive collectible card games goes.
I have no idea about anything that happened during that section, so I'm just going to move on to the next bit. Where we got the first Switch mention.
Yep.
And we got the lovely Zelda mods for Skyrim.
I wasn't going mad, was I? I did see Link in Skyrim.
Yep.
Excellent.
They pushed the amiibo, I think, that they're called, onto the Joy-Con of the Switch, and apparently that made Link show up in the game. So I wonder if that works with other amiibos. Does that mean we get a Kirby mod and
Mario.
You can run around sucking people up?
Mario in Skyrim.
Just jumping on people's heads.
Yep.
Well, he's already adept at killing dragons.
Yeah. But yeah, that was good. That was, I suppose, acknowledgement that they haven't forgotten that they were supposed to be releasing the Elder Scrolls on the Switch.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I can think of for the Switch Skyrim edition, because it just...
Nothing else to say. It's Skyrim plus Link.
It's Skyrim, and it's a Switch, which I don't own and probably won't ever buy. But I've got friends who have Switches and they like Skyrim, so I'm assuming they might consider it.
Yeah.
Then we got Dishonored DLC.
Yeah, motherfucker.
It was DLC, wasn't it?
It was DLC, yeah. It's a story expansion for Dishonored 2, which... Because I haven't finished Dishonored 2 yet, I'm not sure how much of what we saw on the screen actually has relevance to in-game. But most people that have been anywhere near Dishonored know who Dowd and the Outsider are. So it looks like you're going to be playing as Dowd again, like you do in the expansions for the first Dishonored game. And it looks like you're hunting down the Outsider, which should be interesting. I have a lot of time for Dowd as a character. He's a very cool character, so I'll happily play as him again. And I think it's Michael Madsen that does his voice. But he's very cool. But yeah, Dishonored 2 DLC. Means I need to hurry up and finish Dishonored 2 because it comes out in September.
Yeah. Well, as someone who didn't play Dishonored 2 and barely touched Dishonored 1, I have no idea about anything that you just said, so...
Fair enough.
So we'll move on again. And
this is what I mean when I say it's going to be a really quick one.
And we've got Quake Champions and the Quake Championship of the world.
Yeah, they kind of made this really big thing about saying how Quake was the first proper esport, and
I really wish that they'd stop saying esports.
Well, you know, I think it's okay to say esports, but to try and retcon esports into your history is absolutely ridiculous. I will say, you know, Quake is always the earliest and the best competitive multiplayer game, certainly that I got into. So I'm a bit sad that we didn't get a console release or a console announcement for Quake Champions, because that would have been fun. But it's possible that pushing for esports, you won't get it on console, certainly not straight away. You know, if you want esports on console, you've got Overwatch. So, you know, it's a shame. I would have liked to have played it on... I'd have given up Overwatch to play Quake on my Xbox, but sadly wasn't meant to be. But we are getting BJ Blazkowicz as a playable character if you decide to play Quake Champions on PC.
It's the he's the Wolfenstein.
He is the guy from Wolfenstein, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, not having a PC and probably never buying a PC that would be powerful enough to run Quake. I don't know, unless they do get a console release and it is on, I'm guessing, 1X probably would be able to run it in theory.
Yeah.
But yeah, unless it gets a console release, I probably wouldn't ever touch Quake Champions, which is a shame because it looked a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's arena first person shooters. It's what Quake always was. It's Unreal Tournament. It's that generation of fun competitive first person shooter games. So I will consider sticking it on the computer just to have a play, but I would have liked an Xbox release.
Yeah. So, after Quake, and then the Quake World Championships, and the fact that Quake is going to be another esports title after already being an esports title, or the original esports title.
Stop saying esports.
Esports is a thing, Brooker. Embrace it.
No.
we then moved on to The Evil Within 2.
Yeah.
Now, did you actually finish The Evil Within?
I did not. I got bored.
Yeah.
This,
does
though,
this look like you're going to get bored?
No. But this looks like it learned a lot of lessons, not only from The Evil Within 1, but from Resident Evil 7 as well. And obviously, you know, I am aware that Resident Evil 7 only came out 6 months ago. They can't have learned that many lessons. But there is... It does feel like it's a good time to be a horror fan. And this, you know, The Evil Within 2 looks like the game that I wanted Evil Within 1 to be. So I may even go back and finish Evil Within 1 just to get the, you know, get my head around the story. Because I don't know if it follows on or what. I have no idea. So,
yeah. I'm too scared for horror games, obviously. And I said nope at the first part of the Evil Within teaser when there was the creepy shadow in the hallway that then just moved towards you. I was like, yep, nope, done, I'm done with that. Nope. can't be having it.
Just sounds like my house most of the time, so
yeah. So, but it did look proper tense and shit your pants scary while it was still showing off the trailer.
Yeah.
When it started showing off the gameplay stuff, it kind of just turned into another just shoot creatures game.
Yeah. It kind of had this, the trailer had this feel of, I don't know, being pulled into a different world by this weird white stuff. I don't know if this is something that came from the original game, but if that's going to be, like, I don't know, a mechanic or a part of the story, I don't know whether it actually be a different world or, you know, maybe the guy just having a psychological break or something like that that's kind of, that's characterised by this white goop. I think
just,
it could be...
lie down in milk.
Yeah.
And you then go insane because you're covered in milk.
Yep. I think it could be interesting. After my experience with 1, I probably wouldn't buy it, but it would definitely go onto my rental list and I would want to play it. And
maybe the ending of 1 is you waking up out of the milk stuff.
Maybe. I really should find out, really.
Maybe there is actually a milk mechanic and you just completely glossed over it in when you were playing the first one because you got bored.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't get that far in, but mainly out of boredom.
And then, finally, they moved on to Wolfenstein.
Well, yeah, and what a way to finish. I mean, they teased it last year. They teased it with their little CLI thing that said Wolfenstein New Colossus. And then the bastards made us wait a year before we got to see any more. But, yeah, we got to see a shitload.
Yeah, including Liesel.
Yeah, man.
The diesel-engined lion.
Or diesel-engined Lassie.
Yeah, I guess. Could be.
It was basically Lassie with one of those mechanical hounds from the original, Wolfenstein, the New Order.
I will admit, I quite liked the little TV thing that they did.
That was quite fun. I quite liked the whole thing. It was, they've always put a lot of character into Wolfenstein, and these new ones are no different. I'm very, very excited for this. You even get to ride one of those mechanical hound things.
Yeah.
And just run around setting fire to things.
The more the gameplay into it of, you know, Nazis in America and, you know, everything's really shit and, you know, trying to, you know, freedom fight their way across the country.
Yeah.
So that this dude can have kids that grow up in America and not in Germany occupied America, Nazi occupied America rather.
Yeah. So it's Man in the High Castle, the video game.
Yeah.
With mechanical dogs that eat people.
Yes. All things that should be quite amusing.
Absolutely. And
I don't know, I think one of my biggest regrets of, you know, not being willing to give Bethesda the numbers is that I couldn't play Wolfenstein. I mean, so I'm still tainted by the fact that I played the Wolfenstein on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, the silly, weird myth and magic Wolfenstein is nothing like the newer ones. The newer ones should really be played. You really should give them a go. They're fucking brilliant.
Yes, I might do at some point in the future if it just sort of happens to fall on my lap. You know, a games with gold type situation. Yeah.
It's one of those ones as well. Like, literally, because there are a couple of tough bits in there, but you can drop it onto easy and just run through the entire game, have a fuckload of fun for 8 hours, and then be done with it. You never have to think about it again, but you definitely had fun while you were getting to the end.
Yeah. That's the argument that I use for people who've not played Metro.
Yeah. Although you can't drop Metro onto easy.
No.
But yeah, the guy said, didn't he? You know, I said that Machine Games are working on something fucking bananas, and this is fucking bananas, and it really is. It looks absolutely batshit, and I cannot wait.
Yeah, a pregnant woman stabbing the shit out of someone while the dude is dropping acid.
Yep.
Believe is the... So yeah, that's fucking weird. But I suppose the best news that came out of it for any actual Bethesda fans would be that everything that they showed off is coming out in this year.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they mean this calendar year or this fiscal year this E3 year.
I think they mean
year.
This calendar year. So... like Morrowind is today, or is available now. Fallout VR and Doom VFR are both playable today at E3, so I would assume they roll out relatively soon. Dishonored DLC is September. Evil Within is Friday the 13th of October. And...
Wolfenstein's November.
So yeah, everything before Christmas.
They've got a busy end of the year.
They have.
So do a lot of companies have busy ends of the year. So it's... going to be expensive end of the year for people who actually like anything to do with Bethesda.
Yep.
People who want an Xbox Scorpio and don't already own 4K TVs.
No. So yeah.
And those of us going to Eurogamer.
Yeah, so you and me are going to be bankrupt come Christmas.
I might as well, you know, just, you know, sell a kidney or something. I've got two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I
also have two lungs.
You only need one.
Yep.
But yeah, nice short and sweet.
Short and sweet, with conference. Many distractions about you and your family and your dogs and chewing its own ass.
Well, you know, it's 6:15 in the morning. I can only expect quiet for so long.
Only 6:10.
Okay, 6:10 in the morning. But we start doing stuff at 5:00 most mornings, so the fact that I got peace and quiet while Bethesda was on was a miracle.
So, there's that. That's another episode down.
Because we start all again in a few hours, mate.
Yeah, we're on it again. And next up is...
Ubisoft.
Yeah, Ubisoft. So, we'll catch you all then.
Character Unlock was presented by Andrew Brooker and John Miller, with music provided with permission from Miracle of Sound from the track A Dog's Life. Character Unlock is recorded for Failed Critics and is a part of the Failed Media network of podcasts, along with Field and Mullinger's Underground Nights and the Failed Critics Film Podcast. And you can check us out at failedcritics.com or find us on Twitter at Character Unlock. Thanks for listening.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.